And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Thank you for being here. You know, we got busy yesterday and never covered the fact that the NPR editor, Yuri Berliner, was suspended without pay for 5 days from National Public Radio.
Yeah. How dare you speak freely?
You had the NPR CEO, Catherine Mayer, attack him and made clear that NPR had no intention to change what they do.
Yeah.
I'm reading here. Let me just, there's a couple things I want to read here. One is from his website, Jonathan Turley. Mm. After Berliner wrote his piece in the Free Press, NPR CEO Catherine Mayer attacked Berliner and made clear that NPR had no intention to change its one-sided editorial staff or its coverage. Others at NPR went public with their criticism of him and falsely portrayed his criticism as opposed to actual racial and other diversity of the staff. In the article, NPR's David Folkenflik acknowledged that Berliner criticism angered many of his colleagues. Berliner gave Folkenflik a copy of the formal rebuke, which told Berliner that the latter was a final warning and Berliner would be fired if he violated NPR's policy again. However, NPR did not cite reportedly specific appearances as violations. The letter lacks specificity on that point, but Berliner will not contest the five-day suspension. It is clear that NPR and Mayer want prior approval of any future discussions with outside media. With a whistleblower, that could present an obvious choke point and invite further bias. I have criticized NPR's editors of playing such a role in other areas. NPR announced that reporters could participate in activities that advocate for freedom and dignity of human beings on social media and in real life. Reporters just need approval over what are deemed freedom or dignity-enhancing causes. Presumably, that does not include pro-life or gun rights rallies. So, by the way, there's a major lawsuit here, I see. If they're basically saying you can go out and promote one political ideology and not another, and they're taking public funds, that's the key.
Right, yeah.
You're taking public funds. Methinks he would have a lawsuit. The suspension may satisfy the anger of NPR editors and reporters over Berliner's detailed accounts of their bias. In conjunction with Mayer's attacks, it is clear that the problem is viewed as Berliner, not the underlying bias at NPR. He is one of the few remaining old guard journalists at NPR who want greater balance in the outlet. Even that singular voice is too much for the staff. Again, it is reminiscent of what we have seen in higher education, where faculties have been purged of conservative, libertarian, and dissenting voices. NPR obviously has a right to be slanted and biased. It does not have a right to public funding in presenting such coverage.
There you go.
And as we said, and this was Jeffrey Blahar from National Review wrote this, and this mirrors exactly what we have said over and over and over again. Here it is. Here it is. NPR's liberal tilt is structurally unavoidable given the kind of people who want to work there, as much as it is about the complete internal corruption of journalistic ethics. To wit, his discussion of the Hunter Biden laptop scandal is the ultimate confirmation of priors for suspicious conservatives. I listen as one of NPR's best and most fair-minded journalists. This is from his article, said it was good we weren't following the laptop story because it could help Trump. And that's the entire thing. Look, you can be liberal. You know, you can be liberal, whatever you want, if that's what you wish to be. But don't tell us you're journalist. That's the point.
Yeah.
They're saying they're being fair. And think about this. I didn't see anybody stating that they wish to present both sides of the issue. I didn't hear Mayor say that.
No.
She said, what he's saying is untrue. What part of it is untrue?
Right.
This may be the catalyst that kills public funding for NPR and PBS.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, it coming from a obviously credible source and his piece in the Free Press and the way it was laid out. And also, you know, the reaction, the response by leadership there at NPR. And it was kind of, you know, the punishment was kind of, you know, delayed for a few days. It's not like they came out immediately and did this. And, you know, who knows why that is. Likely because they're trying to measure, all right, how do we balance this with everybody else here at NPR being angry at what he did. But in my opinion, a 5-day suspension, you're not going to appease anyone with that.
No,
anyone
you're
that's
not. No,
angry they... at him at NPR, you're not going to win them back over. Well, that's not going to smooth things out with them, I don't believe.
I would go a step further than either of the two articles that I read there. By what NPR did here, because as you stated, with the three things that he brought up, which was their coverage of Russia collusion, mm-hmm. which was not true. None of it was true. And he said when it wasn't true, they didn't come back and say, we were wrong on this.
Right.
The laptop story and COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Every single thing that Berliner brought up in that was true.
Yeah.
About what they did. Think about this. NPR is losing it. Absolutely losing it. Because one of their editors, longtime editors, who comes from the old school that, hey, I'm a liberal, but I'm a journalist.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Look, you and I are conservative libertarian. And we promote what we believe. But we don't discuss things that we don't advocate things that are untrue. We don't make an argument for things that aren't true. And we investigate whether it was Russia collusion from day one or whether it's what they possibly have on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. We have always followed what the law is, what legal influence peddling is, and illegal influence peddling, and we've gone point by point by point by point.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything that Berliner said of the failings of NPR is true.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. just something I've noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
And think about this, NPR, that claims to have journalistic ethics, is furious because no one has stated, you know, they said, well, we disagree with his overall opinion that we're, you know, biased and, you know, we don't do the proper job. But nobody debated him on the specifics of what he was talking right. about when it came to Russia collusion, Hunter Biden's laptop, and the way they covered COVID. No one said what he said was untrue. They're simply trying to say that since we only promoted one side of the story, which happened to be not true, and really didn't spend as much time correcting it, because that would be one thing. If you and I, if there was somebody out there promoting something that we thought was credible, and they kept promoting it, and everything they said was a lie, would we spend 2 seconds on it and move away?
No, I mean, you
no,
break
we
it
would
down.
Never do that.
You
break,
it down. And that's the thing, if you're... You know, if you're coming at me from NPR standpoint, he was basically pointing the finger at them and how they handled all those stories. I would have said, nope, here's where he got it wrong.
Yeah.
Because what I would do is I wouldn't just say he's wrong. I would discredit him. He has no credibility because what he left out was we did this, and this. And they didn't do that.
Well, here's the thing. They know he's telling the truth. Otherwise, they would have fired him.
Right.
Because if you come out in public and lie about what we did.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Yeah, you're gone.
And I can justify firing you because you told this lie, this lie, this lie, this lie. They couldn't do it. They're just upset that he exposed them and they have this rule where you can go out and talk to people when we approve it, and you didn't get it approved.
Well, and if you're saying something disparaging about your employer, you're writing it, right? And it's untrue. Well, that's grounds immediately. And by the way, it would be a good reason to fire somebody.
Yeah.
You have cause right there.
If I came out and, you know, I still might get fired for telling the truth that management favors Eric over me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our wonderful management does that. I don't know why. Part of their sweet nature, probably.
But even worse would be if I lied and said management favors you because why would management favor you? What would be the, I'm trying to think of something ridiculous.
Actually, I can't even come up with a reason. I'm sitting here struggling going, oh, yeah, what would that be? I'll get back to you.
We're in contract negotiations. we're in contract negotiations with the company, and I say that you know, that they favor Eric because Eric is, I don't know, is I can't come up with anything.
We'll think of something. I don't know.
See, you're so perfect, I can't come up with anything.
Yeah, that's it.
That's your fault.
Right. Yeah, because he's perfect. Because he's perfect. They could fire you for lying.
That's See? It. I grounds, just come up with it.
Grounds for dismissal.
They're right favoring there. Eric in our contract negotiations because they think he's perfect, and I know he's not.
Right. It's like, no, you're totally fired. That was a lie.
That was a lie. We never thought Eric was totally perfect. But that's the amazing thing here. They're not saying he's wrong anywhere.
No, and they didn't fire him.
Right. And they didn't fire him because you had it. If it was a lie, you're lying about what your company did.
Because you would be under my, if you were lying and going at your employer. But, you know, I mean, in a big way, discrediting NPR through lying, that would be grounds for dismissal and quite possibly a lawsuit against
him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you you got in the way of us getting more public money. I was gonna say you hurt our profits, but that's pretty much their profits.
No, that's a great point. You hurt a revenue flow by right. telling the truth.
Exactly.
We're still letting you go, but yeah. we're letting you go because. You possibly have hurt one of our revenue sources by telling the truth.
And the ironic part is, by firing him, they would create one less taxpayer.
And one less salary, See, though, it, from the other side.
They get you coming and going. That's the tell right there. They were trying to appease everyone else at NPR who hated him for doing that. By the way, when he comes back, that's going to be a party. Right?
Unless they're all working from home.
Well.
I think you need to work from home from now on.
Yeah, right. Maybe he is. Maybe he's always worked from home. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. That's
yeah.
Really interesting on their response, though. We're suspending you for telling the truth.
I was going to say the company Christmas party would be odd, but I'm sure they don't have a Christmas party. There isn't one. Never mind.
But the winter solstice. Yeah, bash.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just a wonderful thing to go to.
Yeah, it
is. Aren't you so happy it's winter out? Are you celebrating winter like I do? Doggone it, I love putting on my goulashes and going out there in the snow.
And eating vegan cake. That's going to be great.
Hey, what's this thing over here? That's a holiday tree. Yeah. What holiday?
Yeah.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Our midweek look at nationwide crop weather has in recent weeks developed its own segment.
We'll call it our storm of the week.
As dubbed by USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. This week is no exception, as a midweek active storm system has already produced
a pretty good concentration of strong thunderstorms across Kansas, Nebraska, and even into South Dakota with those wind and hail reports. Most of those causing just localized damage, no widespread concerns.
And is on its way southward with potential of
high winds and hot temperatures. We've seen temperatures into the 90s across the southern Great Plains, wind gusts above 60 miles per hour early this week. That's enough to raise dust and also keeping those wildfire concerns active.
The storm track and similar weather of recent weeks are attributed to what is now a fading El Nino climate pattern. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Yesterday, Republicans in the House walked over to the Senate with the impeachment papers to start an impeachment trial for Homeland Security Director Mayorkas yesterday. We'll have some of the comments. In fact, Ted Cruz speaking on it also yesterday. We'll have some audio on that one.
Mm.
Here's one that we'll look at. This is from the College Fix. Young liberal women are far more conservative than they realize, a new poll finds.
Hmm.
Okay, we'll check.
All right.
We'll check that out. But okay. First, Jerome Powell spoke yesterday.
Yeah.
No business cut rates at this time. The recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence. Instead, indicate that it is likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence, he said at a panel yesterday.
I have no idea what the forecasters were seeing in mid to late December when they kept saying, yeah, we could see rate cuts as early as March. And you and I were going,
Where? What?
Based on what?
We never saw it. And they never explained what data showed that.
It just seemed to be like, you know, at a party when people just kept repeating things. And it's like, well, wait a minute, show me. And then January hit, and then you got into the inflation numbers. And now we've seen the first quarter, and the first quarter inflation numbers are behind us, and we see that trend. Because we didn't see where 2% inflation rate target would be met. And that's what Powell was focused on yesterday. Now, what was interesting is that he also implied they will not raise the rates. And you had to read between the lights the lines on that one. And the reason is because, and I suspect it's what I've been saying, even a quarter of a point, any rate increase this year would be sending a massive, massive, loud message to the market. And you don't want that. You certainly don't want that between now and November 5th.
In the back of their mind, they have to be looking at the super core inflation numbers and saying to themselves, we might have to raise.
I think they know they would have to raise in normal circumstances politically. I don't know how you get that done without causing chaos.
Listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, yesterday the House walked over the impeachment papers to the Senate, and both the House and Senate Republicans spoke on it yesterday. Here's Senator Ted Cruz from Texas.
Every week, we see another horrific crime committed by criminal illegal aliens that Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas continue to release. Lake and Riley, beautiful 22-year-old woman in Georgia, a nursing student, just out for a jog. Like so many other women are out for a jog today, believing they live in a country where their safety will be protected, and it should have been. But Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas deliberately defied the law. They apprehended her killer when he came illegally into this country. He was in El Paso. Had Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas simply followed the law, they would have put him on a plane and flown him back to Venezuela, and Lake and Riley would still be alive. But they didn't. They defied the law. They let him go. And he went to New York City, another sanctuary city, where he was apprehended again, this time for endangering the safety of a child. If New York City had simply followed the law, if they'd put him in jail, Lake and Riley would still be alive. But again, New York City let him go, and this murderer came down to Georgia and beat Lake and Riley to death with a brick.
One of the things you've seen here, because you've heard a lot of Lake and Riley talk over the last day or two, you have over the last, you know, since she was murdered. And the Democrats, the response has always been that illegal immigrants in this country kill at a less rate per 100,000.
Yeah.
By the way, as soon as I got to that point, I'm like, you've gone too far on that, because the average person can figure out, as we have stated, the answer is, it doesn't matter. What you're saying is since Americans murder Americans, then it's okay to keep the border open because they come in and kill at a less of a percentage rate. Well, if they're not let in, they don't commit any crimes, and those people are alive. You can't kick citizens out. You can kick illegal immigrants out. And so they lose that. And so that wasn't a great fallback position to have in the first place, as we always stated. You can't win that one, but they can't win this. Democrats can't win this right now. You and I have said that I won't be surprised at all. Whatever way he attempts to bury it, whether it's to have an immediate vote right there without anything else being said, or there was the other thing of he could send it to a subcommittee or whatever and just basically bury it.
Right.
Now, Republicans have threatened if you do, they'll be held to pay. We'll see whether that actually happens or not. But the fact is, it doesn't matter whether he is kicked out of office or not. What they want to do is present the evidence. You cannot beat the evidence of Mayorkas, because I can see right now, I can see the legal people in a trial for the Republicans. Here is Mayorkas on this day, and you have the day stating that the border is secure, and then you say, here is video of the border that same day.
Right.
Masses of people doing it.
Right.
That's a lie.
Right.
He lied to Congress. He lied under oath to Congress and said the border is secure.
Yeah. Here are the total numbers since he became Secretary of Homeland Security. Right. I mean, you just have everything working for you.
Right. And he said the border's secure. That was a lie, which is one of the – what they say is he didn't break the law. There is no impeachable offense.
Right.
Lying to Congress is. Mm-hmm. And he was lying to Congress when he said secure.
Yep.
Now, we're really interested to see the dance that the Democrats do on that. Well, secure can have a number of meanings to it. Now, you lost that argument with the American public.
This is why you need Schumer to bury this.
Yeah, because you can't win it. And I was noticing Mayorkas over the last week, again, before different House and Senate committees. Mm-hmm. And I just went, he's been around so long, you see him speak and you say, this guy is cold and callous.
Yeah.
He really doesn't care. And it's his response to his answers, which are just completely, ludicrous, that are pathological lies that he just continues with over and over and over again. And you just shake your head and you're like, wow, they can't win this. And even if I think you might have, there may be Republicans that are thinking, let's go through this whole process and let's hope that Democrats don't kick him out. Because then we can, and let's hope it's some of the vulnerable ones that are running in the Senate this November, because we will use that like you can't believe against them.
Right.
So I believe they look at it and say, no, the worst possible scenario for Republicans is if Schumer buries it immediately. Now, they still get a week or two out of it that they can pound him for not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe more than that, you can continue to go back and here's what Mayorkas did. But if the trial goes on, that's horrible. If the trial goes on and he isn't kicked out of office, those who voted that way are vulnerable in November.
Yeah.
So, and if they choose to kick him out, it makes the case against Biden.
Right.
Either way makes the case against Biden.
Right.
Because you cannot beat, you cannot beat the imagery of Mayorkas saying the border is secure and running a film of that day and just every other day where the border is just being overwhelmed.
Yeah, you're not going to win it. There's no way to debate it. And the only thing you can do is bury it. If Schumer sends this to committee, you're just delaying this whole thing even longer. I mean, you have to, out of all the bad plays, and each one of them is a bad play, the best bad play for Schumer and Democrats would be bring it to a vote. And it doesn't, but it doesn't matter how it goes, because then you're going to have the GOP and the Senate going, you know, okay, fine. We're going to slow roll everything else now. If this is the way you're going to handle it, you're not going to get anything done in the Senate anymore. I don't know what Schumer will do. It's impossible to predict. But you've got to get this thing behind you, and I don't know how you do that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because even if you don't, it's going to be a month of pounding.
Because the border issue is not going away. I mean, this is about Mayorkas and the border issue, but the border issue itself isn't going away, and there's no fix for the Democrats on this. There isn't in the Senate.
All right, so here we go. This is from the College Fix. While many young women are labeling themselves liberal, new polling data found they share many common convictions held by conservatives. This was 800 women ages 18 to 24 who were recently surveyed, including 32% who identified as liberal. The rest were conservative or moderate. Across this political spectrum, the vast majority of women polled agreed with the statement such as, it is appropriate to have children wait until they are adults before having irreversible sex change surgeries. When I date someone, it is because I am deciding if I would like to marry them one day. And every kid should have the opportunity to go to a school of their choice, regardless of their zip code. The vast majority of women polled said they agreed with those statements. The survey results highlight a striking misalignment between left-wing policies and the outlooks of young women nationwide on issues such as immigration, school choice, sex reassignment surgery for minors, and cash bail reform in a new poll that was taken. The center, the Claire Booth Luce Center for Conservative Women, which commissioned the poll, released the results in late March. It was conducted by Kellyanne Conway. Even with the growing number of young women registered as liberal in the polling data, they still show a significant support for conservative principles, especially those related to marriage and family, which the left would love to destroy. Mm-hmm. Among the poll's findings, 79% agreed that criminals released without bail means a more dangerous community. 74% agree with the statement, we should take care of our own people, like the less fortunate, the homeless, or veterans, before taking care of people from other countries. That's quite nationalistic of these women, is it not?
Yeah, how dare they?
74% agreeing with school choice. 71% are against sex change surgery for minors. 69% believe that fentanyl is the primary killer of 18 to 45-year-olds. America is obligated to do all it can to secure the border and ensure drugs do not come across. This survey reveals perspectives from young women that have been overlooked or misinterpreted in previous research. It shows that their opinions are far more complex than how they choose to label themselves, which is why we have stated the Republicans need to pound on all these major issues over and over and over and over and over and over again. They need to talk about that we are a party of issues. We wish to discuss the issues with the Democrats that they do not. And then you do some of these poll numbers here.
Yeah.
Women, you believe this. According to the poll, you believe this. You believe this. You believe this. You believe this. Yet you vote Democrat that are against all those things that you believe. They need to hit it on the issues day in and day out.
Yep. And just repeat it over and over again. Yep. I mean, you know, look, we believe in the idea of having a family. We believe that we should take care of veterans. We should take care of our own before we take care of people from other countries. We believe, and you repeat that, and that's how you change hearts and minds. Well, it's how you change votes. If the hearts and minds are already with you, most of the work's already done.
You ready for this? Furthermore, 80% said a woman, this is women, all women polled, said a woman must simply be happy and content to be considered successful, and 79% agreed that a stay-at-home mom is just as successful as a businesswoman, doctor, or lawyer. Hmm. Wow. The vast majority also disagreed with the idea that marriage is an outdated institution, as well as agreeing that the hookup culture is harmful to women. Darn it. It's never worked for me anyway.
No.
Women may be unconsciously leaning more and more conservative, the center's news release stated. I knew a woman, this goes back, 35 years that I knew, that always told me.
That was the last woman you knew, right?
Yeah, exactly. Last woman, yeah. And I just remember her telling me how liberal she was. I'm liberal. And over the years, I still know her today. I'll ask her about these issues. She's conservative on every issue, every major issue. I'm like, you're not a liberal, you're a conservative. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying yes, that you agree with all these things. Those are conservative opinions, not liberal. The liberals don't. I think a lot of liberals hold these positions. It's like she's in denial that she has conservative values and has been for 30 years.
Yeah. Well, I think now when you're at, we're at the point where we are with reality hitting on everything.
That's a good point.
Again, the heavy lifting is done for you. And the acknowledgement really is the key.
That's a great point. You should say that exact same thing to the RNC.
Yeah, that's it. Because it really is. You don't have to change hearts and minds. They're already with you. Just acknowledge that.
And point out that the other side is not.
Mm-hmm.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara. And a message of how you should go out there in the world today. Well, just some inspiration for you. Be like John Mellencamp.
Stay at home. Nobody needs to do anything. Just why?
Be angry at everybody and everything.
Why?
Like, scream at the people that have provided you your living for the last.
Okay, what rock star gets? What rock star gets on stage and says, "Hey, you people, get out of my yard." It's over at that point.
After they paid to get in to see you.
He actually said, "I don't need this."
Yes.
"I don't need this. Why are you people here?"
"This isn't a concert. It's a performance. What, do you think I'm a singer? No, I'm here to lecture you that Biden is the greatest president ever."
"Why is everybody looking at me?"
"I'm angry, damn it."
Just weird, man. Just,
I know, what a weird dude.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie. Is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.